Welcome to Secret to My Success. For the next hour, you're going to hear fascinating stories from the people and personalities who found their success in business and in life. Now here's your host, Alan Bornstein.
Good day. This is Alan, Secret to My Success, here with Dawn. How are you?
Alan, I am fantastic. Better than ever.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So Louis is supposed to be here, but I think he's building a boat.
Oh, fun. Okay.
With all the flooding that we've got here, I think he figures
it's time.
Right. He wants to be Louis the new Noah.
The real estate, the boater, right?
That's it. He's going to start selling boats. So we're stuck without him. I can't talk baseball. Red Sox are in dead last place.
Well, I miss
They're
him.
Not going anywhere.
I know. I don't follow it well, right? I need to kind of catch up.
Oh, they suck. I'm sorry. That's very, very
That's okay.
So we have two pretty amazing guests.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask me, are they pretty or amazing? They're pretty amazing. They're both pretty and amazing. They're mm-hmm. unbelievable, but super smart. So we're going to start with Althea Harris. Now, you have a little bio on her, so I'd like you to read this little bio on her real quick.
You want me to read this whole bio?
No, you could do anything you want.
Okay.
Go for it.
So we have Althea Harris, right? Deputy District Director of U.S. Small Business Administration of South Florida.
Now, let's ask Althea real quick. South Florida is all of South Florida, east and west, correct?
Well, to be very specific, it's all of South Florida, south of Orlando, east and west, to the west.
Oh, wow. That's pretty big territory.
Yep.
Excellent. So we're going to get in your back. Do you want to keep reading this bio?
No, go ahead. I think we should just start with speaking with her, yeah.
So what I'd like her to do is, Althea, we're going to do this backwards. You're going to tell us about Aline, that's here with you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Aline Fernandez is amazing. Let's just start there. And you said something about pretty and amazing, right? Yes, she's both of those things and those things together. She has had a long and distinguished career in federal service. She's also been a small business owner. So she knows a thing or two about a thing or two, and we are so delighted that she joined our team during the pandemic, and what a great addition to our South Florida team she has made. I don't know how personal, but she's got a lot of kids, let me put it that way. She's a mom extraordinaire, a wife extraordinaire, a colleague extraordinaire, and I'll leave it at that.
That's pretty impressive. And let's be up front here. She reports to you, correct?
Yep, she does.
How cool is it that she's got her boss here on our radio show saying all these amazing things about her?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys are making me blush.
she's just amazing. I try to tell
so
the truth.
Okay, let's continue have fun with this. So, Aline, you get the opportunity to do this introduction of your boss now. Let's hear it.
Wow. I've known Althea actually even before I joined SBA. She is extremely charismatic, motivational, and she's a great a connector. I do report to her, but you know, we have a great relationship where we bounce great ideas off each other and the opportunity to really, you know, serve the small businesses. So it's been great. I love working with Althea.
That's awesome. So I'm so glad you guys like each other, because the last thing we want to do is have an HR problem on her show.
Right.
Right. That would not be a good thing. Right. Okay. So it's interesting. So Althea, you are actually a lawyer.
Actually, I have gone to law school, but I am not a licensed or practicing lawyer. I work at the U.S. Small Business Administration. I went to law school at night early on when I was at SBA. And frankly, I went to law school so that I could understand what my husband, a practicing lawyer, was saying to me when he was building his own practice. So learning his vocabulary and learning about the law was really important to help him as he was launching his own practice, which he's done now for, I think, over 25 years. So it started out pretty great. And, you know, a legal education is a great education to have. It's hard to push over someone who knows the law.
No question. So let me ask you, when you were doing a lot of work for the Girl Scout Council of Tropical Florida, did he join that so he had something to talk with you about?
Well, you know, what's funny is we have two daughters and two sons. So I was doing the Girl Scouts with the girls, and he did the Boy Scouts with the boys. So he had his own thing he was doing.
And now you could actually join them all together right now. I understand the Boy Scouts take girls, the Girl Scouts take boys. There's
how about
kind of
exchange, right?
Right? A little crazy. But you've done a bunch of volunteer work. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I do. In fact, I just got back from Lebanon with my church on mission. We did provided some medical attention to Syrian refugees and Kurdish refugees who don't have access to medical care. And that was amazing. Lebanon's an amazing country. The Middle East is just a fascinating place. And then I also volunteer at my church with the youth ministry. I love young people. They keep me young, you know, and I really enjoy that a lot. And I'm on the board of Greater Miami Youth for Christ, and I'm also on the board of my church, Christ Journey in Coral Gables. So, yes, I do a lot of volunteer work, sharing my time and talents, you know what I mean?
That's impressive.
To make things better for others.
That's super impressive. Elaine, do you do any volunteer work as well?
I do. I actually, I sit on a nonprofit called Be the Light. And then I also work with my church, you know, as well. And actually, that you mentioned Girl Scouts. I am a co-leader for my daughter's Girl Scout troop. So I volunteer a lot at my daughter's school. Thea had alluded to it. Yes, I have five children.
They know what causes that now. just kidding. Okay. So you're doing a lot of volunteer work as well.
Yes.
I have a soft spot in my heart for 501c3s. Most people don't realize this. At one point in my life, I actually used to be the director of public relations for a not-for-profit adoption agency, bringing little foreign kids in from China into Connecticut.
Wow. And that's awesome.
Most people don't realize. They think a not-for-profit means you guys can't make money, but the fact of the matter is if you don't make money as a not-for-profit, you have nothing.
You're not in business, right? Yeah.
Well, that's a very interesting observation because, you know, at the Small Business Administration, we get people calling us all the time, even from nonprofits, and that piece of advice is something I often give them, which they don't think about their nonprofit like a business, you know, sort of what is your bottom line? How do you know you're successful? You know, what are your success measures? And I often recommend to them that they study business principles because they're applicable to not just obviously business, but also nonprofit.
Oh, they have to. I mean, seriously, if you're not for profit and you haven't figured out a way to bring some money in, your mission's done.
Right.
There's really nothing you provide. And it's crazy. A lot of people don't see that. They well, you know, we can't make money. I work for an adoption agency, and the bottom line was we were charging for adoptions, but we were a 501c3. So there's certain stuff that you could give away, but if you did not have a fee schedule or figure out how to continue the momentum of your operation, you were done.
100%. And, you know, but those are the nuances, right, about nonprofit, running a nonprofit and even some of the nuances that trickle over into small business ownership.
So I want to talk about a program that I've gotten to reconnect with you and Aline called Thrive. And I think it's a pretty amazing program that you've put together. So which one of you want to tell us about how Thrive came about and what you're doing?
Well, I can do that. Back in, I want to say, early 2000s, SBA, early 2000s, SBA, embarked on something they called, I can't remember, it was so far back, the first name of the program, and then it became called Emerging Leaders, and now it is Thrive, which is Emerging Leaders Reimagined. And the Thrive stands for Train, Hope, Rise, Innovate, Venture, Elevate. And it's an executive-level training series designed to accelerate the growth of high-potential small businesses And of course, this is a nationwide program. Many of the 68 district offices across the nation have Thrive cohorts. It is SBA's effort, because of course there's no cost to the Thrive program. It's SBA's effort and contribution to help businesses grow, scale, succeed. Because what we know, Alan, what we know is the vital importance that small businesses play to our economy. And so when we can support small businesses, which is our mission, to grow and succeed, then we all win, right? Because, for example, in your business, when you do well, you're able to hire more people to continue doing well. And the jobs that you create are very meaningful to your employees and their ability to care for not only their own needs, but the needs of their families. And the money that you give them goes into our economy at the pizza parlor and the hairdresser and the mechanic shop and even Costco, right? So these are, it's really critical that we as SBA continue in part with our mission to help those small businesses grow into bigger businesses.
Things are a lot different. Years and years ago, I remember I had this brilliant idea, and somebody said, you got to go meet with a gentleman from SCORE. I'm up in Connecticut. I'm like 19, and I'm talking to this guy, and he was much older. And I tell him this idea that I wanted to come up with. And it was like this pretty innovative idea that way back when, if you were selling a car, you put it in the newspaper. There's no internet. There was nothing that we were going to put these little kiosks in malls. And we were going to list cars, so if people want to come in, they could look. We'd set up the appointments, do the whole thing. It was just a unique idea for the time. And my SCORE representative said, that's a great idea, and you seem like a really nice little kid from Connecticut, and a little Jewish kid from Connecticut. Good luck. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, that's all I can give you. There's nothing. And I walked out saying, wow, that was so cool. I got nothing. I mean.
Oh, my gosh, that's an awful story.
I know it, but those things have changed. You guys look nothing like that now.
Work anyway.
Pardon me?
I said, turn the corner for us. How'd you make it work anyway?
Oh, I didn't. He convinced me I shouldn't do it. So I actually got involved in recruiting, and I was doing that for the longest time, and I opened my payroll company. And it's true. I like what you're saying about small business, because I am one of those people that my company services the needs of small to medium-sized businesses. The big players in the marketplace, they don't want my clients. They want the big clients that pay stupid amounts of money for things that they're never going to use. And we play a vital role in helping small business by giving them things that they don't have. And I've been talking to people about your program, trying to tell them they should go. And you know what the biggest problem is? I run into people that they don't know what they don't know. What are they going to teach me? Your program's amazing. I've been doing this a long time. And all it takes for me is to make a relationship, to talk to somebody out there, to get one little nugget that I didn't have, and your whole program was worth every moment I put into it.
Wow. Listen, I've been at SBA for 23 years. You just made my heart sing because we're not in it over here at the SBA for the money.
Right.
It's to hear business owners like you say what you just said. We work really hard to bring horses to water, right? The water that we have, we can't make them drink, and it's very discouraging, but also equally encouraging when a business owner like yourself takes advantage of our programs and services to grow their business. And if I may, it's funny because I think what you started out with SCORE is how things change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to Florida, first of all, Alan, for however long you've been here, because here in our district, the number one SCORE chapter in the nation is right here in Broward County.
Hmm.
Not only that, the number one small business development center in the nation is also in our district at Florida International University. So we are crushing it here in terms of our resource partner network. We not only have those two number one operations here, But we also have three women's business centers in South Florida. The Veteran Business Outreach Center that's actually in the Panhandle also services South Florida. And certainly the Florida Small Business Development Center Network is top notch. So we're really proud of our resource partners here in South Florida. They have the combined expertise and knowledge to help any business owner at any stage of their business ownership journey.
That's pretty amazing. Now, do you know John Nicolasian over at FIU?
Not personally.
He heads up the master's degree business program. Yeah. He does some really cool stuff. It's funny, that guy used to work for me, and he's down there at FIU, and he's screaming up and down about all these great programs. So it's funny to hear you talk about FIU as this partner that you're working with. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so SBA funds in part all of our resource partners. So that's why we call them resource partners, and that's why we also refer people to them to get that hands-on expertise and help that they need it. Like I said, any stage of their business cycle, whether they need help starting a business, you know, they have an idea like you went to SCORE with, to get some liftoff, to get help with marketing, help with government contracting, help with sales, help with online sales, help with international trade, which is something, that we're keen on here in this market, perhaps understandably, since South Florida is the gateway to Latin America and the rest of the world. So our resource partners can handle all of those topics and more.
That's pretty amazing. Elaine, are you still with us?
I sure am. I actually wanted to do a little plug here because we were talking about Thrive, and I know we were talking now about resource partners, but this program does run from July to December, as you know, Alan. It's like the SBA's MBA program, and any business really can apply for the program. The applications typically open April to May. There's an interview process. So I would just invite other listeners and small businesses that are listening to go on our website and apply so you can have that experience as well.
But you're pretty selective. So I remember when we first started talking about this, you said there was 200 applicants for 25 spots.
That is correct. That is correct.
And then you brought it from 200 down to 75.
Correct.
And then we
invited 25.
But you actually did interviews to decide who was coming in at the 25.
That is correct. So I guess some of the tips and tricks in talking about, you were talking about resource partners and kind of tying that in, is that, we have resources that are out there for small businesses. And so we want you to be ready for the program. And so sometimes that includes you first meeting with some of our resource partners, A and B, like anything in life. What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it.
No question. So, Don, you're going to appreciate this. Aline almost kicked me out my first week.
Well, sir.
Yes, it's okay. I'm gonna leave it out there. It was my fault.
That's a good story. We got to hear that one.
I missed the first meeting.
Oh, that's why it wasn't like you.
I missed the first meeting. No, I didn't
picking on anybody or anything.
No. And she put me on top secret double probation and said if I miss another one, she was kicking me out. And I promised, I swore up and down, I wasn't gonna miss another one. And it's to my benefit that I haven't,
because
it's really been a great...
Sounds like a great program.
They have great guest speakers that come in. They have really great resources. So it's not somebody who never done it telling you how to do it.
Right.
It's people that have walked the walk, talked the talk, and they're teaching you how
people.
To do it.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So, Aline, thank you for not kicking me out.
You're welcome. Listen, I created boundaries, which are important.
Right.
And you obliged, so we're here now, so I love that.
And I want you to know, Althea, I didn't mention your name once when I was trying to get her to not kick me out because I knew who you were and we had met before. So I never once
put down
your name. To say, no,
he
Aline.
You did not.
Yeah, Aline, you can't kick me out. I know, Althea. I didn't do it.
No, it wasn't necessary.
I haven't even taken opportunities. You've been a great asset to the team at Thrive, so... All that to say that, you know, you should apply if and when you're ready. You know, SBA is here to provide those resources for you.
But the one thing that I didn't understand, and I truly get now, is you have this whole network of people all over the country. So I'm on this thing, and I'm getting invited to connect with people all over the U.S. And they're all small, medium-sized businesses that want to be better. It is so cool to have conversations with other people that are doing something different around different parts of the country. I've had a few people on the show that came from Thrive that are doing some crazy stuff. It's really unique that you've put us all together like that.
I love hearing that. Yeah, and so Thrive does happen nationally. It happens in all the district offices just about across the U.S. So, yeah, and when we have these calls, you have the ability to kind of network, like think global, big time, you know. So I love that. That's great.
But there's a commitment. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to video and watching and reading. It's not like you just go once a month. I mean, there's a whole program of things that you need to learn about, and everything from HR to marketing. I just got through the corporate culture piece, and it's true. And it was funny, so I actually sent an email to all my employees. I said, I want you to tell me what our corporate culture is, because I want to hear from them what they think it is versus what I think it is.
And what did they say?
Right?
Did you get any responses yet?
No, not yet. I just did it yesterday. But I'm like, I want you to tell me what our corporate culture is. Because if they didn't understand what I'm trying to portray as our corporate culture, then they're not getting it. I need them to tell me so that we're all on the same page.
Wow, that's brave of you, too.
It was, and I said...
It is.
No, because...
That's some vulnerability. I love that.
And I do, too.
You got to know the truth. It comes down to it. Sometimes it's good, it's bad, it's ugly, but you got to know the truth. You
can't
fix it.
That's how you grow, right? You learn.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's just too difficult to build on lies, isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because people don't even remember the lies they tell sometimes. So how can you build a real business based on that? How can you entrust your business to employees if you don't know the truth? You can't. That's it. And as painful sometimes as the truth can be, it's worth having.
Right. I have a belief, if you want employees to act like employees, treat them like employees. If I want them to act like business owners, I actually have to treat them as owners of my business.
Mm.
And Richard Branson, I think at one point said that it's pretty interesting that not all customers are right, because you have to support your employees. And I've told my employees, if you did something because you thought it was in the best interest, or you thought it out and it wasn't malicious, I'll stand behind you. And I think they appreciate that there's not one customer who's any more important than any of the people that work for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, Alan, you're very clued in to the nuances, right?
Right.
That there's a difference between the customer is always right and the customer isn't always right. You know, they are often not right because they're human beings. People get things wrong all the time. And then some people are just, you know, cantankerous, and you just can't please them ever, no matter what.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure your employees are so pleased to know that you support them, and that makes a difference. And you have to deal with cantankerous customers, you know, to know that your boss has your back is terrific.
My business partner has equity in my business. She's amazing. She's been with me for a long time, and it's not a secret. She's very religious. She goes to church every day, and swearing really bothers her. And I get it, and I do my best to make believe that when I'm in the office, I'm a kindergarten teacher, and I try my best to, out of respect to her. And it's not, you shouldn't do it in the workplace anyway. It's just not appropriate. And we had a customer that called her up, a good-sized customer, and this woman's yelling, screaming, and swearing. And I called this woman up and said, look, if you're really upset about something and you need to swear, you need to call me. My staff works too hard to take care of you and your company to have to deal with that. And if you and I can't figure it out, we'll get your boss on the phone and we'll talk about the way you're talking to my staff. Mm. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I'm like, seriously, I'll treat you with respect, treat my staff with respect. It's tough to have those conversations. But if your whole program talks about all this stuff, it addresses all these different things in your Thrive program. I've been so impressed with what you guys are doing, and I'm only halfway through.
Right.
You know,
there's more to come.
So
yeah, more to come.
We're going to go to a quick break. Dawn, are you ready?
Yes, quick break.
Okay, and we'll be right back. We have a lot of cool stuff that we're going to talk about.
Does your business have at least one employee? Did you get PPP money round one? Did you wait too long to get round two? Even if you got PPP round one or two, or didn't get a dime of PPP, you might be eligible for money for employing people during the pandemic. The program is called Employee Retention Credits. ERC is being advertised all over the radio, TV, and internet. Companies are popping up promising you hundreds of thousands of dollars from the government. They are charging really large fees too. The ERC program is legitimate. The question is, are you using a legitimate company to get what you deserve? Many of these companies have popped up and will disappear after they've been paid. ERC is a payroll program. You want to trust an established and stable payroll company that will be there for you if there are ever questions from the IRS. Workgroup Payroll will evaluate what you are eligible to receive. No shortcuts. You will get paid what you deserve. Our fees are lower than anyone trying to get your business. We do not earn a dime until you receive your ERC money. Call us now to see how much money your business is legitimately eligible to receive. 561-953-2007 or email Alan at workgrouppayroll.com. Workgroup Payroll. We love small business. From one part-time employee to 300, we want to be your payroll partner. If you have questions about employment taxes, PPP forgiveness, or employee retention credits, we can help. Your business can be getting up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and $7,000 per employee per quarter for 2021. Let's talk about how that works for your business. Call 561-953-2007. Would you rather get better service and pay less, or less service and pay far more? It really will take less than 10 minutes to save over 20% switching to Workgroup Payroll. We make switching easy. Get the service you deserve, the price you like. If you are using a large national payroll service, we want to help you. Call 561-953-2007.
Welcome back, Alan, Secret to My Success, and we are here with Althea and Aline from the SBA. So we've been talking a lot about Thrive and the program. Let's get into some of the other things that SBA does that most people have no idea. So you guys are actually involved in FEMA as well, correct?
Did you say FEMA?
FEMA. Some of the programs that FEMA puts through is through SBA, correct?
Oh, what an excellent question. Not exactly. FEMA, of course, is its own agency as part of Homeland Security, and we are an independent agency not affiliated with any other larger federal government agency. Both organizations are involved in disaster recovery. FEMA is interested in a community's short-term recovery. Do you have clean water? Do you have a place to stay? Do you have a generator? SBA is concerned about a community's long-term recovery. Can we get that roof back on your house? Can we clear the debris? Can we fix, you know, the hole the tree made in your roof? That sort of thing. And then also, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program helps businesses that were adversely affected by disasters get back on their feet. So, for example, I'm just going to make it up because this is what I imagine happened out in California or in Hawaii, right? Those fires destroy so much, and a business whose customers can't come to their location to buy their goods or services because of the disaster, they need a little bridge until they are able to get those sales going again, right? So that's really the role that we play, is to help communities get back on track for the long term, whereas FEMA is for the short term. So they get in, they get out, and then we're still there rebuilding communities.
The EIDL program was pretty amazing in keeping businesses afloat through COVID. And it's pretty crazy how quickly you guys were doing that. So prior to that, I mean, what was the average length of time for an EIDL loan to take place?
Well, let me say this. The EIDL loan program is different from the physical damage loan. The physical damage loans that SBA makes tend to be done far faster, and EIDLs are slower and less popular because a lot of times communities and businesses are not necessarily adversely affected. Sometimes it takes a while for you to realize you've been adversely affected by a disaster. And so with SBA's disaster loan programs, the window of opportunity tends to stay open longer for the EIDL, again, because business owners sometimes don't realize they're being adversely affected in their cash flow until, you know, maybe they do their books a month or two later.
Okay. But even like your EIDL program through COVID, I mean, it was just amazing how fast people were able to get access to really low-interest yep. loans to keep themselves mm-hmm. above water. I mean, seriously, it was amazingly fast.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. Because, you know, it was just like a tsunami hit our shores, you know, the pandemic and all of the great relief that was offered through the various avenues that SBA was responsible for. And, you know, it's, again, once again, you make my heart sing because, you know, most of the time, as you probably know, when it comes to customer service, when people are not getting service the way they want to, they scream and holler very loudly. Very few people come back to say, hey, that was great. Thanks so much. You know,
right.
So thank you for saying that out loud.
But it's true. And, you know, how you guys put together PPP, I mean, it was just pretty amazing that they got it out. And at first it was confusing. The big banks weren't promoting it to the smaller bank or to smaller customers. It took a little bit, but once everybody applied, they were able to get their money. It was pretty wild what they did with PPP money. And unfortunately, there was a bunch of people that were lying about stuff and nobody were actually checking. And you've heard about people getting millions of dollars in PPP money and they had no employees and they actually didn't have a company. But
right.
you had to do something. I mean, it was all or nothing. And at that point, doing all was probably much better than doing nothing.
Well, sure, 100%, right? I mean, and look, what is it? What's the saying? You know, hindsight's 20/20. Come on. Who has ever been through a pandemic, please raise your hand.
Right.
Anyone who knew what to do when the whole world was shut down? Anybody? Can you right. give us some advice? You know, people, you know, look, I believe that people do the best they can with what they have. I mean, that's the big, you know, saying of Thurgood Marshall. I did the best I could with what I had. I mean, you know, if I knew what we know now, maybe things would have been different.
Right.
Different decisions right. would have been made.
And the
but,
other thing
you know, overall, we're very pleased with the COVID response at SBA, and Aileen can attest to this, that, you know, and in the state of Florida received, businesses in the state of Florida received about 10% of all COVID money, so through that were, you know, dispensed through SBA.
Right.
So we got more than our, quote, supposedly fair share, except Florida's awesome and Florida's small businesses are awesome. So we're very pleased about our participation, even at the local level, to respond to the pandemic. And Aileen, I think I heard you trying to say
yes, something. She was trying to say something. Aileen, come back in. We miss you.
Yes. Thank you. What I was going to say is that very much like Althea was saying, you know, this was a national you know, pandemic, and never in the history of SBA had they ever really had to put out these EIDL loans nationally. So typically, you know, it'll hit a region, but never does it hit all 50 states all at once. So, you know, I was actually a COVID hire initially, and I dealt, you know, firsthand with a lot of the businesses and really figuring out the, let's call it the tips and tricks as to, you know, why are some of these loans were potentially getting stuck, you know, kind of in that process, you know, and you know, I think SBA wanting to be, you know, give the benefit of the doubt, we made a lot of changes to help small businesses get those monies in their pockets. So yeah, I was in the front part of that, those idols, and you know, I think that you know, we did a good job with what we were dealt with, you know. So I just kind of wanted to add that.
businesses would have been cooked. Seriously, the restaurant industry was decimated. A lot of service industries decimated. They would have been done. We would have saw 2 out of 3 restaurants close if it wasn't for the programs that were put in place. It was interesting, though. So when all this happened, look, I own a payroll company, and I'm freaking out. I'm going to lose my customers. What am I going to do? And I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I told my staff, just stay. I'm not going to let anybody go. We'll figure this thing out. But let's help our customers, whatever they need. So at the time, the PPP loans, there was 3 different criteria that we could use to figure out what they were going to get. We promised every one of our customers that within 15 minutes from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., we'd give them the documents and help them get it to the bank. And we would give them A, B, or C and say, A, get you the most amount of money, B, get you, this is what you should do. And it was interesting. I reached out to my local senator, and I said, look, you guys might be making a little mistake because the 941s don't show individual payrolls. It only shows like this lump. You know, somebody should actually talk to him about looking at the state unemployment returns because that's the one document that breaks down all the payroll per employee. And they said, yeah, we know what we're doing. I said, do you know anything about payroll? And they said, no. I was like, that was it. So there was a bunch of people rushing to do it, and I think they had to. You guys built the parachute as you jumped off the cliff because you're right, the building was burning. Something had to be done. So it's impressive what you guys have done. It's impressive, the programs. And let's continue to talk about some of these other programs that you've got in place.
Cool. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So, Aline, what program do you really love the most about your day-to-day job? Talk to me.
Let's see. Well, you know, I really enjoy Thrive because I get to connect with small businesses. But we already talked about Thrive.
Yep.
Althea maybe can speak or help me speak a little bit more to this. We have different, and we talked a little bit about our resource partners that I think people really need to know and reach out to them and get their businesses ready. You know, because I think one of the things that we really found out was that some businesses weren't ready. Okay. So know that we have resource partners all over the United States that you can be reaching out to, and it's at no cost to you, the business owner. But the other thing that, you know, we could talk about is a different, the guarantee loan process and the loan products that FDA offers, the 7(a)s and the 504s for working capital and property, which, you know, I think people sometimes get confused and think we SBA are the ones that you come to for that loan. And then we also have microloans, and I'll let Althea, because she's definitely, better equipped and more of a guru on this. But there are opportunities. You know, we touched about it also on one of our finance thrives, where there are opportunities for small businesses to get these loan products, but they have to be ready.
Althea, batter up.
100%. They have to be ready. 100%. And I'm proud to say that we are on pace to guarantee in our market we already have done over 3,300 loans valued at almost $1.8 billion to small businesses. And so one of the things that we're hyper-focused on, which you kind of alluded to in your comments about PPP and payroll, is financial literacy, right? I'm sure you have to take your newer customers through an educational gauntlet about payroll and you know what their obligations are and what you do to help them meet their obligations. And one of the things we know about, or having come through the pandemic, which we knew before, but the pandemic really just highlighted and underscored, is the level of financial illiteracy there is among small business owners in our market. And that's really not that much of a surprise because the culture says, do what you feel, do what you love, you know, and tells you to have a side hustle around your passion. Well, yeah, okay, but passion is not going to make payroll.
Right.
And passion is not going to do what you do for your customer, meaning like I can have all the passion in the world for the widgets I'm making, but if I don't do payroll right, I'm going to be out of business before too long, right?
Yep.
For one reason or another. And so it's no surprise that people are financially illiterate because the culture says, you know, emphasizes emotion, whereas there's far more to business ownership than passion. Passion just gets you up every day to go do it, but the tedium, there are tedious things about business ownership, and if you don't like that and you don't know how to get it done and you're not willing or able to pay someone to do it for you, like your business, you know, it's going to be a hard time. So it's really important that business owners become more financially literate, and that's something that we're hyper interested in and doing programming around that. But if I may answer your original question, I mean, I can work at SBA for 23 years because entrepreneurs are so exciting to me. I think they're amazing people who create something out of nothing. And that to me is fascinating. But what's great about SBA is we pivot and adjust to the needs of small businesses. And so at any given time, there's something new and exciting happening at SBA because there's something new and exciting happening in the world of small business. So, for example, October is Cybersecurity Month. And cybersecurity is huge. Not only is it huge as, say, a commodity that the federal government purchases for itself, but small businesses can really get hijacked if they are not securing their clients' information in their databases. So if a small business owner gets hacked, it is very costly to deal with the fines associated with the loss of their client information to hackers. So that's a very interesting thing that we're taking on at SBA. And October in every year is Cybersecurity Month, and SBA in October tends to have and will have a cybersecurity summit to help small business owners learn more about that threat. We are hyper interested in innovation and small business ecosystems. So at FIU, the Small Business Development Center is the community navigator lead for that program here in South Florida. We have a small business investment companies program where, believe it or not, Alan, SBA is involved in venture capital for small businesses. So, you know, from soup to nuts, we're helping small businesses in various different ways and with various different programs and services. So for me, it's always an exciting time at SBA. And that, for me, just really floats my boat and makes it possible for me to have been here all this time and staying here.
It is pretty amazing, people starting out on their own. And, you know, one of my buddies, he was my boss at one point, and he was an executive recruiter, and he calls me up because I had one on my own before him. He says, I'm scared to death. I'm like, fear is good. Fear is what motivates you every morning to get up. Your passion for what you're doing, but fear is, where's my next meal coming from? And to have these resources that are available to most people that years ago had to do this on their own and just figured it out. And they made a lot of mistakes. You know, in one of the movies, Moneyball, they said the first guy who goes through the wall is the one who gets the bloodiest. So you don't have to be the first one, because you people have a lot of these resources in place that people don't have to get bloody as they're doing this. You have some really cool things to help them get there. But you're right. Most people don't understand the financial piece of their business. And I joke around that most business owners don't buy wire and bend their own paper clips to save money, because if they do, they're stupid. You only have so right. much time in a day to do things.
That's right.
And, you know, like I'll watch that show, The Prophet. You guys ever watch that show?
I have not.
Oh, no. I know about it. I haven't watched it yet.
You should watch it. He was a local guy from Miami, Marcus Lemonis, and he was involved in autos, and I think he was Camping World. And he'll go in and he talks to business owners, and almost always, they don't understand their finances. He'll walk in and say, let me see your P&L. My what? Let me see your balance sheet. My what? They have no clue. They don't have any idea of how they're running their business without looking at the bank statement to see how much money came in and how much money left. Because other than that, they do not understand it. And you can't be a business person without knowing this. And you guys are, your programs are talking to people and teaching people how to do this. It is pretty impressive what you do. You surround these people with this warm blanket and let them know you're not alone.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I always liken small businesses to sharks, you know, business owners to sharks, right? They eat what they kill.
Right.
And they also are often solitary animals, you know what I mean? And they feel that way. But, you know, we're here and all of our resource partners are here to provide that camaraderie, that sense of community that can help a business owner with the thing they don't know. What I find, too, though, in all my years here is that there are some people who are collectors of information but never users of information, right? So it's not enough to acquire the knowledge. You've got to actually implement it, right? Learn to read your financial statements, then read the financial statements regularly,
right?
So, yeah, but we're here for it, you know, and we really hope that your listeners will you know, reach out to SBA wherever they happen to be listening to this message. The SBA has 68 offices across the nation and in the territories to really help small business owners. But again, you know, it's you don't think that we're going to do anything for you, right? We come alongside you, but you're still a shark. You still have to kill what you eat. So we can show you where the water is, but you got to trot over there and you got to drink it, you know?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. But I also believe that it comes down to this as a business owner. If you don't ask the question, the answer is always no. So if people don't pick up the phone and call the SBA and figure out what's in it for them and how they can benefit from these programs, if they don't do that, they get nothing.
100%.
They have to be able to 100%. Reach out and ask the questions, because there's always somewhere you can give them direction. There's some advice. There's a program. There's always something. And a lot of people are a little bit afraid of the government. They think, oh, you know, I don't want to do this. They're going to know what I'm doing. Everybody's got their own hangups about why they don't do it. And it's probably just not good hangups. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I understand sort of the idea that people don't want the government to know what they're doing. Listen to me. We're not that organized. We're not that organized. Okay. We don't have the bandwidth to track you, and we certainly aren't doing that at SBA. Right. And then ultimately, with us, certainly at the local office, you know, our desire is to help people, but our desire is not at all to hurt people or catch people doing anything. Now, if you applied for PPP and know darn well you were not entitled to that money and you committed fraud, you can expect that the government is paying attention and coming after you. But if all you're coming to us for is, hey, I need help with a marketing plan. Hey, I really want to learn how to export to Germany. No problem. But we're not holding on to your data, trying to, you know, check on you 12 years later to see if you, you know, did something wrong. No, that's not it. That's not our mission. That is not what we do.
So we're running out of time, but there's one more thing I want to talk about that I thought was pretty amazing. You guys will actually, you have a program to help small businesses figure out a way to do business with the government.
Yes. Do you mean our government contracting program?
Yes.
The program, sorry. plural. Yeah. So we have at SBA now, we house all of the certification programs, the federal ones for small businesses. That is mainly the women-owned small business certification, the Hub Zone certification. Hub Zone stands for historically underutilized business zones. We also have the A to A business development program certification. And now we are the repository of the veteran business owned certification. So business owners who want to have a little extra leverage in the $800 billion annual federal marketplace should see if they can get one of our certifications, one or more of the certifications because the federal government is hyper interested in doing business with small business. This administration has said that it wants the federal government to do about 12% of its federal contracting with minority-owned businesses. The statutory goal for that is 5%, and we already routinely double that amount, and we're on par probably to do 12% this year. We'll see after the dust settles on Saturday and all of the and the fiscal year ends. But it is a marvelous way to grow your business. It's a competitive marketplace, don't get me wrong. But the federal government is the world's largest buyer of goods and services. No one spends more than we do because we are not makers of anything, right? We are the consummate consumer. So if you can think of an end user federal employee, then you may have an opportunity to offer that product or service to us. And we can help with that as well. May I share our website?
Yes, I'd like you to do that because we're wrapping up. So tell me, how would people get this information? Where do they go?
Well, I would say the first start is our website, sba.gov. So SBA for Small Business Administration, .gov for government. That is the main site, which is dense with information about who we are and what we do and how we do it. And then locally, if you're in South Florida, our web address is sba.gov/South Florida, all one word, South Florida. And there you can see our events calendar as well as how to reach it. Did I forget anything, Aileen? Oh, yes, our social media handles and channels. And do you remember those off the top of your head, Aileen?
Yes, Twitter is at @SBA_South Florida. That's at @SBA_South Florida. And then on LinkedIn, it's SBA South Florida. So you should be following us. We are always putting out information on programming as well as whatever we're celebrating that month or what we're trying to kind of focus on. So I would definitely have you guys follow us on Twitter and on LinkedIn.
Guys, we can't thank you both enough for being with us. You've been educational, motivational, and inspirational to anybody who's in business or wants to be in business. You guys are simply amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks,
Dawn. Thank you, ladies.
Workgroup Payroll. We love small business. From one part-time employee to 300, we want to be your payroll partner. If you have questions about employment taxes, PPP forgiveness, or employee retention credits, we can help. Your business can be getting up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and $7,000 per employee per quarter for 2021. Let's talk about how that works for your business. Call 561-953-2007. Would you rather get better service and pay less, or less service and pay far more? It really will take less than 10 minutes to save over 20% switching to Workgroup Payroll. We make switching easy. Get the service you deserve, the price you like. If you are using a large national payroll service, we want to help you. Call 561-953-2007. Thanks for listening to The Secret to My Success. For more episodes, go on over to secrettomysuccess.com. That's secret, the number 2, mysuccess.com.